Welcome, great patriotic friends, to July 21st on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. And one of the reasons why I do this show is because understanding history gives us a platform to base our knowledge of today's politics. So, with that said, let's begin the show with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody stand, face the flags if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. So now, getting started on today's show.
News of the moon landing hits American headlines. Team Ocean Hearts reach Waikiki. And we'll wish a happy birthday to Ernest Hemingway.
All right, so now let's do this. 1969, here are the headlines. New York Times, man walks on moon, astronauts land on plane, collect rocks, plant flag. Most of the headlines in America and many other parts of Europe said similar headlines. I hope I debunked the conspiracy theories on how Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin did not land on the moon and how the whole thing was a hoax. In case I didn't squash that silly conspiracy theory, ask yourself this. Then where did the Apollo go? Around the block? Walmart? Fact is, those astronauts would land back on Earth on the 24th of July. I suppose the most annoying conspiracy theory is that the footage for the moon landing was filmed in Hollywood by Stanley Kubrick. The real conspiracy should be the moon itself. What Armstrong actually saw on it, and what Houston already knew about the dark side of the moon. For example, why is there a satellite and a cylinder-shaped building or structure already there, and who put it there? If you don't know this one, you might be chasing the wrong conspiracy, if you're chasing one at all. Or what about the spaceships? Apollo almost landed in a crater filled with rocks, which would have been a disastrous landing, but Armstrong was able to maneuver the ship onto a level surface. On the other side of the crater, the crew allegedly saw three other ships that appeared to be watching them. What were those ships? How did NASA manage to lose important documents regarding the Apollo mission? Whatever it was, it's much stranger than the Stanley Kubrick theory.
2016. Team Ocean Hearts reach Waikiki. Liz Dykus and Pat Hines would not finish first in the XX2Y Optics-sponsored Great Pacific Race, but they were the oldest. The Optic sunglasses that sponsor the event for teams United Nation and Ocean Hearts is an ideal sponsor, since its brand protects the eyes from the sun and water glare during a 45-day row across the mid-Pacific. From Monterey, California to Hawaii, this trek turned out to be a 2,400-mile journey through waves sometimes as high as 20 feet, strong winds trying to take them off track, and all the other elements involved. Coming in first place in that race was United Nations, which included Carlo Pacino from the US as well as several other Europeans, but Team Ocean Hearts, who weren't far behind, were the real heroes. I don't ever like to talk about a lady's age, makes me uncomfortable, but with all due respect, Pat was born June 28th, 1954, and Liz was born August 29th, 1957. President of XX2I Optics, Paul Craig, wisely stated, "These women are tough as nails to take on something this extreme," and goes on to say that he couldn't imagine pulling off that feat while he was in his prime. Liz Dykus and Pat Hines, everybody like a boss!
In detail. 1899. Happy birthday, Ernest Hemingway. He gave us many great books, including The Old Man of the Sea, For Whom the Bell Tolls, Farewell to Arms, and so much more. He grew up in Illinois, learned early on how to hunt and fish, and that became his major passion in his lifetime. We read his first winning Pulitzer Prize autobiography, A Farewell to Arms, which really wasn't an autobiography, but I call it that because it was based on his life at the time. He was an ambulance driver in Italy in World War I, got injured by mortar fire, and wound up in a hospital in Milan, where he met and fell in love with his nurse, Agnes von Karowski. He proposed marriage to her in real life, and she accepted at first, but then left him for another man. Brutal. But those events were led to Farewell to Arms. Another one of the books that he wrote that was inspired by his lifetime happened with the events of when he married Hadley Richardson and moved to Paris with her. Hemingway started hanging around F. Scott Fitzgerald, James Joyce, and Pablo Picasso, and became entrenched with the Lost Generation expatriate community, which was the basis of perhaps his best work and first novel, The Sun Also Rises. Hemingway started an affair with Pauline Pfeiffer, divorced Hadley, and moved to Florida. He went down to Cuba, met his soon-to-be third wife, fellow Spanish Civil War correspondent Martha Gellhorn, watched a ton of bullfighting, and wrote For Whom the Bell Tolls, which would be later nominated for a Pulitzer Prize, but not won. He moved back to America, and during World War II, became a correspondent and met his soon-to-be fourth wife, another war correspondent, Mary Welsh. Later in 1951, he wrote The Old Man and the Sea, and finally won the Pulitzer. He traveled around Africa, survived two plane crashes, became depressed, a raging alcoholic, and killed himself with a shotgun. Hemingway influenced writers to this day. His imagination was as great as his talents.
And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for July 21st on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's show on the comment board. Civil War buffs, anything you care to add to the first Battle of Bull Run story?
What about the man on the moon? Any conspiracy theories you'd like to throw out there? What about Team Ocean Hearts? I can't imagine going into a rowboat and just paddling through the mid-Pacific, especially by people older than me.
Hemingway fans, what's your favorite novel? So yeah, definitely let me know what you think. You can also take a shot at some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on there. I have a literary one, in fact, for all you Hemingway fans. And be sure to check out tomorrow's show. I'll talk about the Battle of Minisink, John Dillinger, Jessica Lynch,
The Marlboro Man, and more comic book fun.
So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you then.